Dave, sounds hopeful. Stories Jesus Told, Part 2. This is not switched on.
Maybe that's better.
Yes. Right. 20 past. I'm a bit loud. I had a sort of half feeling that because we were getting these messages from Jamie, who was on holiday with Lizzie in Great Yarmouth, and the visits to the hospital and so on, that maybe Jamie wouldn't even make it this morning. So the PowerPoint is a little bit picture heavy as a result. So there we go. So what message for today is to do with seed, and James has introduced that really well, so thank you James. It's interesting, isn't it, that these stories are things that we use for Sunday school. We tell the story and we explain it, we interpret it, and yet that isn't what Jesus used to do. He would just tell the story and kind of leave it and move on. Quite interesting that we feel we need to explain and interpret, don't we? And say, well, this is what it means. Whereas Jesus was quite happy frequently just to tell the story and to move on. So we're starting with the parable of the sower, but I want to ask first, why did Jesus speak in parables? Now, last week Ian made a suggestion that it was quite a common way of getting a message across in those days, and I'm sure that's correct. But in Matthew's version of this story, and we find the story actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but in Matthew's version of the story, he draws our attention to this. It's a part, verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 78, written many, many, many years before. When the psalmist says this, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old." So as we read this story, as we go through this, and indeed the other parables that we're going through in these coming weeks, keep this thought in mind that Jesus communicated this way quite deliberately. And it has to do with hidden things, with hidden meanings. So, here we go. I'm going to read from the Luke version, Luke chapter 8, if you've got your Bible, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Okay? While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. No, hold on. Where's my farmer? There's my farmer. The farmer went out to sow his seed, right? And this is sort of traditional way of the way sowing was done in that time. Satchel over the shoulder, seed was chucked around, as in the picture. And some, it says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Path being the hard bit, okay? And there the seed sat, it was trampled on, and it was eaten by birds. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God will be given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So there's a few other clues there, aren't there? Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And there's an implication that some people have ears to understand and some people don't. Some people have ears, they can hear, they pick up, they absorb, and others don't. So question for us, immediately, is are you hearing? Are your ears open? Are you listening? Last week Ian was preaching at the baptism service, and he was in Luke 15 and the story of the sheep, the lost sheep. And right at the beginning, Luke comments that the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered round listening, but that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were all muttering about Jesus welcoming sinners and eating with them. Who was listening? Who was not? Actually, Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus opens up this a little bit more. But I just read this. He said, Jesus says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God. Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah here. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. Hidden things, hidden meanings. Okay, leave that there. I'm not going to explain it anymore. So, what does everything represent? What is the seed? Well, James has spoken a little bit about the seed, different sorts of seed this morning. But this passage is very clear, isn't it? It says that the seed is the word of God. In Matthew, it's described as the message of the kingdom. So the seed is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's the message that Jesus was preaching. It's the message that Paul preached. Just when he was writing to the Romans, he said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. There's a power in the gospel. We know this stuff. This is the word of God. This is the seed that is sown. It's the news of this transforming power that comes through Jesus Christ. But, and this is where we have to put our thinking hats on and our meditate on the word that Jesus has given us here. Seed depends on its environment, doesn't it? If for it to grow or not to grow, for it to blossom, to produce fruit, it depends on the environment that it's around. So the key thing then is to understand, well, what is the soil? Oh yeah, what is the soil? The soil is the human heart. That's the key thing to understand. What is the heart? What is our heart? You're looking puzzled, Mark. What is your heart? It's your inner being, the essential you. is the word that the meaning that the Bible has on this. And we use that today commonly, the heart of a matter, the heart of a person. It doesn't literally mean the pump that is pumping blood. It means the essential central element, the thing that is you. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." In Isaiah, the Lord says, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honour me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." Matthew 15, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." What comes out of people's mouths defines what is in their heart. What is in their heart comes out of their mouth. James was talking earlier about fruit, and we'll come on to that later. The things that come out because what's there, what's in the heart. So that's the soil. So what is the path? Seed that falls on the path, Jesus explained, is eaten by birds. Or according to the interpretation, the devil, the evil one, comes and snatches the word that was sown. Sad state, isn't it, that somebody can come within the embrace of God's word, within the place that God is speaking, to hear the good news and the transforming power of the gospel, the power of the gospel, and yet it's snatched away because of hardness. It doesn't penetrate. It just perches on the surface. It goes in one ear and out the other, I suppose you might. It was never able to germinate. There was no hearing, no reflection, no conviction or understanding. No repentance, no turning, nothing. The devil catches away the seed and the person goes out unchanged and unmoved. Maybe it's skepticism. I don't know. Why do these things happen? Maybe a focus on the world's material things. Maybe the mind is closed to the things of faith. Maybe there's a sort of an atheism that Seeley was talking about with this series later on in the year. People's minds are closed because they're convinced of other things and they become hard, and that the word of God doesn't penetrate, it stays on the surface. What about the rocky soil? Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And I can think, just preparing this, I could think of a number of people that I've come across over the years who responded enthusiastically to the gospel. There was, energy, action, wanted to get stuck in, get involved, and then something goes wrong. Maybe sickness, maybe family breakup, maybe some difficulty. So many things beyond our control can happen, can't they? They cause us grief, they cause us stress. And this is the big test. What happens? What happens then? Is there fruit or is there falling away? Big questions. Suddenly for that person, the energy, enthusiasm dims. And the desire to be part of a fellowship and to worship God in the church begins to fade. The root is not deep, is it? The sun comes up, as Jesus says, and there is no moisture and the plant withers. So there you go. There's the rocky soil. thorny soil. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. See, soil can host other plants, can't it? A receptive heart can receive other seeds. That's the challenge. Other plants, thorns and weeds, can grow and grow strongly in competition. They can choke and overpower the seed that is the Word of God. If you have a garden, we were in the garden yesterday moaning about weeds. Trouble with weeds, isn't it? I tread on good plants when I'm trying to do the weeds. But the thing about weeds is that you never seem to be finished with them, do you? They keep on coming back. You never finish with dealing with them. They're a repetitive thing. Weeding's not a one-off job that you then move on. You have to keep returning. Okay. I think that's important just to think about in this as a parallel. Paul said that he could do anything but not he could do anything but that not everything was beneficial or constructive. See, a heart that cannot differentiate between what is constructive and what is destructive is in danger. And destructive forces can eventually crowd everything else out. The cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Good soil. Just as we've been worshipping the Lord this morning, I know that amongst the people in this church there's this real desire to be good soil. I know it's there. I know in the way people live, people act, people express themselves, there is a longing to be good soil, not to be hard, not to be rocky, not to be in this thorny place. And when the soil is good and there's the right balance of everything, nutrients, moisture, all that stuff, the root takes hold and it produces fruit. And as the parable says, some produce more fruit than others, but there is fruit. And James outlined this so well this morning. The fruit, Paul describes fruit, doesn't he? These nine things. Well, that's a sermon on its own. You know, love, joy, peace, the kind of inward things that the Spirit of God does in a person's heart, and then the next ones are kind of more outward, aren't they? Patience, long suffering, kindness, goodness. Those are outward expressions of those inward things. So that when the rubber hits the road, when you've gone away from your place of meditation, where you feel the love and the joy and the peace, you go out into the world, and then you need long suffering, you need patience. You need kindness to other people, you need goodness. They're sort of an outward expression, yes, of those inward things that God has put. The smile is always there, the joy should be always there. We have to be challenged. Love, joy, peace, but then these outward things. And then there's these three that are directed towards God, aren't they? Faithfulness in our service, faithfulness in what we do to one another, gentleness or meekness. You know, that's our, it's the way we are before God, self-control, not giving in to things which would distract us, not allowing the weeds to come up and get us. Those are the fruit that come out. That's the fruit of the good soil. When the power of the gospel, the power of the message, the power of this transforming love is put in a man or a woman's heart, these are the outworking of it. And you know, so we've got numbers of people who are going through some of the most difficult times at the moment in the church. They're not here this morning because they can't be. And yet I have seen and witnessed, we all have, of this fruit in their lives. Somehow, despite everything, there is a hope, there is a joy, there is a peace amongst everything. So then the next question is, well, who is the sower? Who's the farmer? And in the context of the parable, clearly Jesus is the sower. He's the one who's speaking. He's somewhere in the middle of his 3 years of ministry, and he's speaking and preaching about the kingdom, about God. He's speaking God's word. He is the sower. He's the one. That's the obvious interpretation, isn't it? And it's true that God is the sower. And in that sense, God is sowing today. He's sowing into our hearts. This is God speaking. It's interesting, the extravagance of the sower, do you think? And if that occurred to you, if farmers nowadays, they break up the ground with their plough, don't they? They till it, and then they drill. They don't sow, they drill. They push the seed down into the moist, dark, safe place where the birds can't get at it. You know, and that's the way it is. You don't fling it around. But that is not God's way. He causes the rain to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is abundant in what he does. He's, I heard somebody once saying, is God prodigal? I don't know, you can answer that. But, you know, almost wasteful in the way he doesn't focus on where the good ground is. He's happy to plant the seed anywhere. And then there's another way, isn't there? Another sense that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're the sower. We do sowing. End of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, doesn't he? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So there's a sense that we're the sower as well. We sow that word of God. We sow the fruit that comes out of us, the love, the joy, the peace, those elements, those characteristics which of God has put in us by virtue of his Holy Spirit come out, and they become more seed in the office, in the playground, wherever you are, in the community, in the whatever circumstance you find yourself. There is a sense that what God has put in you is producing fruit. It's producing more seed. It's producing knowledge of the kingdom, this word of God that comes out. So, that's the parable of the sower. Two messages just to take away and to think about and to ponder. For us, what is our heart like? There are four types of soil, aren't there, outlined here: hard, shallow and rocky, thorny and good. And the great thing about soil is that the characteristics that it has are not fixed for all time, are they? Hard ground can be broken up, stones can be cleared, weeds can be pulled out. The thorns and thistles can be cleared. It can be broken up. It can become good. It can have, you know, that's the nature of it. We've had some work done on the back of our house, pointing work, and they dropped quite a lot of sand and cement and stuff on the ground, and it was rock hard. But you can break it up. You can get rid of the cementy stuff. You can break it up. You can mix in some good stuff, and there you go. You've got good soil again. It's possible. It's not fixed. But I know that we get feelings of that would be hardness, wouldn't they? That there's things happen which cause us to react in a way that is not like good soil all the time. And that's where we need to be alert, to be alert when trials come, when the heat of the sun is on us, when temptation springs up in whatever form it might be, then hold on. What is the fruit that's coming out? What is it? Is the love, the joy, the peace, is that there, or is it wobbling? Is the patience running thin? Is kindness and goodness being displaced by blaming and a bit of bitterness deep down? Now, don't be afraid to recognize it. We're all subject to the same rain, the same sun. How do we react? What is our ground like? The great thing is that we can turn to the farmer, because he's the one who can change your heart. He's the one who changes, who can break up the soil. Maybe just be a time after this sermon just to think. And you know, if it's something that you can speak to the prayer team who will be over in the corner afterwards, somebody else that you can know and trust, be honest. If not, set aside some time, be with Jesus, ask him to change your heart. Here's a promise from the Old Testament. This is Ezekiel speaking. God said this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Very, very familiar text. I will remove from your heart of stone. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The ground is not fixed for all time. It is something which God will change. So that's the first one. What is the soil of your heart like? Secondly, be a generous sower. Don't be despondent when seed falls on hard ground and it seems to be rejected. Don't let it put you off. We don't know what the hearts, this really struck me quite strongly, we don't know the hearts of the people that we're supporting. I don't know the hearts of the people in my office, the team of 8-10 that work for me. I don't actually know whether they've got hard hearts or thorny hearts or stony hearts, or whether actually there's good ground. I don't know. Therefore, you have to sow. I mean, just logic, isn't it? If you sow, it sows on everybody. Some it'll just bounce off. But if there's one whose heart is good, then... So don't be disheartened and don't be selective. The sower wasn't selective. He chucked the seed out. Let's pray, and then we'll have a time of quiet reflection, and then we'll move on to close the service. Lord, we thank you for these parables. We thank you for the way that you left it, Lord, and yet you've given us the spirit to understand. And Lord, our heart and our desire, I'm sure I speak for all of us, is to be good ground, to the fruit, those nine things so well described later by Paul, Lord, that they are our characteristics in that govern the way we are. No matter whether the sun is shining or the rain is beating down, no matter what the stress is, no matter what the strains on us, Lord, we want to be that. We want to be those that express that love and joy and peace and patience and so on, Lord. Those are the characteristics we aspire to know you and love you, to have our lives transformed by you, to be good soil. Lord, we thank you that we've got a loving farmer who can deal with our hardness, who can deal with the stoniness. We praise you and thank you. Lord, make us honest. Help us to listen. Lord, give us open ears to hear and to understand what you may be saying. Lord, as you strive to perfect us. Hallelujah. Amen.